to take your faith to a new level. Anybody here? Amen? Well, we are learning through this series that God has got levels of faith that He's wanting us to grow in no matter what season of life we're in. First of all, let me say I appreciate very much. Have you enjoyed Pastor TJ and Pastor Justin the last couple of weeks? Man, they do an awesome job. Wow, really ministered to me personally. We appreciate these men who God is using to bring us the Word. And today we're going to be talking about the thought, develop your faith skills. Develop your faith skills. Say faith skills. We need faith skills. We need faith skills. Now, I'm reminded of this through the example of when Muhammad Ali passed away recently. They were running some of his old fights and some of his classic fights and talking about his legacy. And they spent a lot of time talking about a lot of his classic fights. Now, I'm reminded of probably one of his best-known fights was in 1974. After he had already been the champion, lost the belt, been the champion, lost the belt. And I think he lost it several times or regained it several times. But he was well past his prime in fighting. And there was a young guy by the name of George Foreman. Now, for those of you who don't know, you're thinking, you mean the guy who made my hamburger grill? Yes, George Foreman. The guy who made more money selling hamburger grills on QVC than he ever did in boxing was once one of the greatest champions that ever lived. He actually was named one of the greatest young champions to ever hold the title. At a young age in 1974, he was considered faster, stronger. He threw a punch, they said, stronger than anybody had ever thrown before. And he was such a big guy, an incredible athlete. And when he hit you, man, he was knocking guys out in the first round. Second round, very seldom did a fight that he fought ever go past the third round because he was so powerful that he was knocking guys out. And so here we have the new champion who's young, bigger, stronger than the seasoned champion who's been way past his prime. And they said, this is crazy. Why is Ali going back into the ring against such a young, strong champion? He's going to be killed in the ring. And so everybody was doubting him. And when he started off the fight, he wasn't even fighting. He stayed on the ropes, just covering himself. And the commentator said, what a shame. Ali is past his prime. He is past his prime. He should not even be fighting. Remember that? He was commentating on this and talking about how he should be, you know, not even in the same ring. He's being destroyed by the champion. He's too old for this. But what they didn't know was Ali was old, but he had a lot of wisdom. And he had garnered a lot of wisdom in the ring over the years and a lot of skills. And he knew that there was no way, as great a champion as he was in his past and in his prime, he knew there was no way he was going to be able to stand with the strong, younger Foreman by going toe-to-toe. And so, but he knew that Foreman had never gone past about three rounds, so that the majority of his fights had all ended very fast. And so he just sat there in the ropes in the corner, letting Foreman hit him one after another, slugging himself out. And he waited until the end of the fight when Foreman had never fought that long before. And Foreman was tired, and he could barely keep his hands up because he'd been punching himself out. And then Ali reserved all of his energy and began to fight. And pow, 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 and down goes Foreman. This is an incredible upset. You know, everybody, he shocked the world. He just shocked the world by knocking out Foreman. And he played, they call it now the rope-a-dope, where he played possum in the corner, letting him wear himself out. See, there's something to be said about age. And there's something to be said about garnering this wisdom in life that allows you to get through some battles because you've gained some wisdom over the years. And if anything, I could challenge you that this lesson today about developing your faith skills is about garnering that wisdom so that when you face life's toughest challenges, that you have the skill set to survive. You have the skill set to see yourself through the storm. You have your skill set up that this faith is going to sustain me through whatever season I'm facing in my life. And so we're talking about developing our faith, garnering this knowledge, this wisdom we need to elevate ourselves to the next level. See, many times we see here in 1 Timothy 6:12, our opening text, it says that we are to fight the what? Good fight. Turn to your neighbor and say, fight the good fight. Of what? Faith. Fight the good fight of faith. See, your faith is just not something that you feel. How many know that faith is more than a feeling? Let me ask you this. How many know that marriage is more than a feeling? Now you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who have been married for a while, you know what I'm talking about. That there comes a time in your marriage when you don't get up and treat the person the way you used to when you were dating. You're not always as nice as you need to be. Ladies, you don't always fix yourself up the way you used to. Guys, you see yourself one way in the mirror, and they see you a whole different way in the mirror, okay? But at some point in every mature marriage, there comes a time when you say, I'm in this marriage, I'm sticking to the outcome, hell or high water, I'm fighting for my marriage, I'm going to love this person because I'm going beyond just a feeling, I'm making a choice, a determination that I'm going to fight and see this thing through. The same thing happens in our life, that faith is more than just how you're feeling, because our feelings go up and down. Faith becomes a determination, and many times it becomes a good fight, because you got to fight your way through the skills that God's given you, the skill set He's given you to operate in faith. It's learning to say, this is not always just a feeling, but faith is a level I've got to fight through the tough seasons in my life. See, God wants us to live in His reality. God wants us to live in His reality. And too many of us live in our own reality. We're in our own fantasy land, but God wants us to live in His reality. His reality is things like, I will give you peace that will pass all understanding. What's that mean? That means that when I'm going through things around me that don't make sense and I should be losing it, I keep it together and God gives me peace to walk through daily the things I'm going through. Why? Because His peace passes all comprehension, all reality. And it's God's reality I'm learning to walk in. When others look at you and say, why aren't you losing it? You say, no, I'm walking in God's peace. I'm walking in God's peace. Why? Because I've garnered along the way a skill set of faith that allows me that when I go through tough seasons and storms in my life, I can walk this thing through. I can walk it through. God's reality says that, you know what? I'll give you joy, unspeakable and full of joy, full of glory. What's that mean? That means that, man, that even when things don't look the greatest, you can put a smile on your face knowing the joy of the Lord is strengthening you daily. The joy of God's strength is what? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let's say it together. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's God's reality. My reality is different. God's reality is different from my life. And the mature believer learns to elevate and walk through any season of their life, garnering the skill set they've learned over the ages that, you know what? Man, no matter how tough it looks right now, if I keep my eyes focused on Jesus, if I walk in His peace and His spirit, if I submit myself to Him, that He will sustain me and bring me through. It's the walk of every believer. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's something you garner, the skill set you garner, and you got to learn to operate in. Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that a blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the what? We might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We unlock the promises of God through faith. We've talked about this. Grace is given freely, but it's engaged and unlocked through our faith. We've looked at this scripture already. Let's refer to it again today, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's through God, through faith. Grace is given to everyone, but it's unlocked and received through faith. See, faith unlocks the promises we have for our life. And when we accept the Lord as our Savior, we accept His grace. That's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. God has got so much more locked away for us, and He's wanting us to have the keys of the kingdom of God to unlock it, and those keys are called faith. Faith is what unlocks the plan of God for our life. Faith is what unlocks God's promises in our life. Faith is the key to unlock the promises of God for our lives. It's faith. They're there. They're waiting on me, but I got to receive them in faith. God's just not going to open them up and dump them out into your lap. You got to use faith to go unlock them. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about how I could relate this to you. And I was thinking about my son, Preston. And son, throw me your keys here. I remember when he first turned 16 and he wanted to drive really bad. And he wanted to drive. He turned 16. I said, all right, son, you got to get a job. Got to earn some money. You know, and you save your money, we'll help you. This is what we can do. And this is what, if you earn up to this much, we'll match you and help you get a car. And so he started working in January and worked his way all the way through the school year and worked all summer long, saved his money up. And at the end of the summer, before school started back, he went out and got himself a car and he got his keys. And I remember just before school started, he got his car and he was so proud. And as he should be, and he got his car and this is how he wears his keys. And even back then, the first day, he had a lot more things on. He was really there. And he got those keys around his neck and this is how he walked into school. Got my keys, y'all. Got my keys. He walked around with these keys on. And, man, he was so confident. He was so excited. Any parents of teenagers know what I'm talking about. He had those keys. I mean, I've seen girls wearing keys on the earrings. They're so excited about the keys. There's something about when they first get those set of keys. You remember how excited they were. You remember how much ownership they had, that they had some new freedom. They had some more independence, and they knew that, man, I can get in that car, and I can drive across town. If I got gas, I can drive across town. It just brought a new confidence to him. And, man, he was walking around, yo, keys. You see, this is what God's done for us spiritually, though. He's given us the kingdom. Well, there we go. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. And as he's done this, is that good? Can you hear me good back there? Okay. As he got keys to the kingdom, he's given us keys to the kingdom. Many of us are walking around just like this, and we don't even realize we've been given the keys to the kingdom. The keys are there for us to unlock the blessings, the promises. It's got to be engaged by faith. I've got to use my faith. I've got to use my faith to go and unlock the blessing God's got for my life. And God wants you to walk with confidence, no matter what you're facing. You know what? I'm going through a tough time, but you know what? God's given me the kingdom. He's given me keys to the kingdom, and it's called faith. And I'm going to operate in these keys. I'm going to unlock the promises God's got for my life, and I'm going to engage in them through faith. It's through faith that we learn to operate in the kingdom. Thanks, son. There we go. Good catch. All right. I'm glad you caught that. I didn't want a lawsuit in my hand. All right, there we go. Today we know, look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by what? We walk by faith and not by sight. See, this is where the mature believer is called to. We're called to walk by faith, not by sight. Let me say it another way. We're called to walk in God's reality, not in our reality. See, my reality walks so far, and then I see a barrier, then I stop. I turn this way, and I walk so far, I see a barrier, and I stop. I look out on the horizon, I see this going on, and I stop and limit myself compared to what I see. It'll never get better. There'll never be healing. They'll never change. My job will never do this, and my marriage will never be better. My children will face this. And we see all these barriers, and we limit ourselves based on our reality. But the person who is garnering faith skills, they're able to elevate their faith and say, yeah, there's some barriers there, but God, you're enabling me to see into your reality, which says I can get past this. God, you got a different plan. God, you got a healing plan. God, you got a restoration plan. God, you got this plan. And we can see past that, and we can see where God is wanting to take us. It allows us to walk in God's peace. It allows us to walk through any storm, any difficult season in life. Through what? Because we're walking in God's reality. It's the reality that God is calling us to walk in, that we walk in God's reality. I love this story in Matthew 9:27. One of my favorite stories in Scripture when it comes to faith. You've heard me reference it before. Let's read it again today. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. Now, this is important because we see here two blind men were having more faith than people who had sight and were with Jesus all the time. These two blind men were showing more faith than his disciples who were following him, witnessing him with their own eye account, doing miracles, hearing the teachings he was doing. And these two blind men were now operating in a level of faith that Jesus hadn't seen. Because when he comes by, first of all, they said, Son of David. First of all, that's an important term because you got to realize the prophecy before was that the Messiah would come through the lineage of David. And so they are yelling out, you are the Messiah. In so many words, this is what they're saying. Son of David, you are the Messiah. The Messiah is passing by. Have mercy on us. So they're crying out to him in faith, confessing he's the Messiah long before anybody else is getting it, they're getting it. And I love this because they have this faith before they could even see, they believed. They believed he was the Messiah even if he didn't choose to heal them. It wasn't like they were healed and all of a sudden they said, oh, he's the Messiah. He opened our eyes. They were blind. And by faith, they said, he's the Messiah. I believe in you, Son of David. I believe. And their faith was being stretched to a different level. Jesus had never seen this before. Their faith being stretched. See, look at this statement. I think it's so true. Our faith is tested in the God you are able stage. Our faith is tested in the God you are able stage. Because before he ever healed them, before they could ever see, he simply asked them, do you believe I am able? God, we believe you are able. And what that says is simply this, that when we're going through difficult seasons in our life, when we're going through things we're praying about, when we're not getting the answer that we need or we want, there's still something about a higher level of faith that says, God, you are more than able. God, you are more than able. But even if you choose not to, my faith does not waver. My faith is still strong. Even if you choose not to heal me, even if you choose, God, not to give me the answer I'm looking for, God, my faith is still strong in you. God, you are able. I'm talking about going to a new level of faith. See, anybody can praise the Lord after you're healing. Anybody can praise the Lord after you get an answer. But can you praise the Lord and operate in faith before you get it? Can you praise the Lord before you get the answer you're looking for? That takes a different maturity. That takes a higher level of faith. But as you grow in wisdom, you realize that's the faith that God is looking for in me. It's not a response of faith. It's a faith that says, God, even before, I believe you can. And if you don't, you still can. I'm still trusting you that you have a different plan and a better plan. It's my faith being stretched. I'm garnering those skills. This is part of the skill set that allows you to elevate your faith. Look what it says here in Hebrews 11:1, one of our foundational scriptures. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of the things we hope for. What's that mean? When God's reality shows up to us, and God begins to show us things in our spirit, he gives us a God dream, a God vision. Mike, I've got a catering business. God, you're speaking to me to open up a catering business, and you want me to do this? In reality, I don't know how that's going to come. I don't have a commercial kitchen. I don't have the money to get this started off the ground. But he sees it in his spirit. He begins to walk it in his spirit long before any of us ever see it. Long before any of us see it, God's given it to him. And he begins to walk in it in faith, saying, God, I see that, long before anybody else sees it. That's the faith. Faith is the substance of the things we hope for. But it's evidence of the things not seen yet. Nobody else has seen it, but God's put it in my spirit. God, I see my marriage healthy, even though it doesn't look that way right now. So I'm walking in that faith. God, see it. I'm staying determined for you to process it through me. God, I'm seeing my children come to God. And long before they ever even return back to church or even think about walking in healing, I believe that God, my children are going to return to the house of the Lord. They're going to give their heart back to Jesus. And you begin to walk in that. You see things happening in your spirit room. God begins to see and show you his reality, and oftentimes nobody else can see it. And it takes faith to walk in it. And you're walking in it. It's the substance of the things hoped for, evidence of the things not seen. And the evidence becomes the DNA. God, your DNA is all over this dream. God, your DNA is all over this plan. And God, I know that this is you. God, I see it. It's just not a selfish plan, but God, it's a plan you've given me for my life. I believe it's a God-given destiny. It's your purpose for me to walk in. And I see this, God, and I see the evidence of your DNA all over this whole thing. It allows me to walk in your reality and see the things God's got for my life and not stop when I see a barrier in my way. Not stop when I see things that don't make sense. Don't stop there. Learn to see God's reality. Learn to see that if God has given it to me, I'm going to walk in it in faith. See, faith lets you hold on to what God has shown you. Look at this. Faith lets you hold on to what God has shown you in your spirit long before anyone else sees it come to pass. That's the mark of faith right there. Can you see it and hang on to it in your spirit long before anybody else can come into agreement with you? It takes faith. It takes a mature faith. It takes faith going to a different level. It's evidence through God's DNA. See, optimism helps handle you. But faith motivates God to handle my situations. See, optimism will motivate me. Optimism will change my attitude. Optimism can change the way I feel. But faith changes the way God reacts to my situation. Big difference between faith and optimism. We learn to do it. Let me put it a different way. I need the Holy Spirit to handle me. I need the Holy Spirit to handle me, and I need God to handle my situation. See, I've got to learn every day to surrender to the Holy Spirit in my life. I've got to learn every day that I'm surrendering to the Holy Spirit in my life, and when I surrender to the Holy Spirit, then God, you're taking care of my situation. My plans are in your hands. My situation is in your hands. My tough season, it's in your hand. My good season, it's in your hands. My children, they're in your hands. I'm learning to surrender my life to the Holy Spirit so that you can change me and handle me. And God, you're going to handle the things around me that I can't change. That is faith. That's walking in a mature faith, garnering the skill set that God's wanting us. See, I need the Holy Spirit to calm me. I need God to calm the storm. Big difference. I need the Holy Spirit to calm me, and I need God to calm the storm. And we see it happening. I love this story in Mark chapter 4. Great story. And a great windstorm, in verse 37 of Mark chapter 4, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against the boat, so that it was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. That's a great place for Jesus to be, asleep during the storm. And they awoke him and said with him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" How is it you have no faith? You see, Jesus deals with the storm. They come and get Jesus up. Jesus, the storm's going to overtake us. Our boat's going to sink. Why are you sleeping? Jesus wakes up. You guys, a little faith. He rebukes the storm, rebukes the wind. "Peace, be still." Storm calms down. Then he comes over to the disciples and says, "Why is your faith so weak? Why is your faith so weak?" You see, God deals with the storm. Jesus deals with the storm. Then he wants to deal with us. He deals with the storm, and then he wants to speak to us as well. He doesn't just want to change the storm. He wants to change us. And many times he'll calm the storm, but that's not the end of it. He still wants to talk to you and say, "Hey, why is your faith so weak? Why are you struggling believing me and trusting me in this area? Why are you allowing the enemy to torture you? Why are you allowing this to happen? You've got to learn to trust me. You've got to learn to surrender to me." This is the place of elevating our faith that God is wanting every one of us to walk in. See, Jesus wants our faith to be so strong that when we go through a storm in our life, we're at peace because we know who's in our boat. He wants us to know that when we go through storms in our life, that we don't have to panic and have a nervous breakdown, because he knows that Jesus is in my boat. No matter what happens, Jesus is in my boat. Some of us got to get that into our head. If you have a relationship with God and you believe and you're a child of God, Jesus is in your boat. He's in your boat, and you don't have to panic, knowing that he's there. He's not going to let you sink. Let me give you a little inside information, okay? Insider information. We win no matter what. We win no matter what. That is the cry of the Christian, that once we accept and become a child of God, we win no matter what. God's plan is bigger than any plan that's unleashed here on earth. God's plan is greater, and we win no matter what. And so that gives us a confidence to allow our faith to begin to rise through a difficult season. It allows our faith to begin to rise and walk beyond our reality. Our reality sees barriers. Our reality sees all this. But faith allows you to see past that barrier and say, God, you've got a bigger plan for my life. God, you've got a bigger plan than what I see right now. God, I see right now that you've got a plan you're wanting to unveil. And God, I'm going to hold on. I've been through enough small storms, as David says. I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. All right, let's take on Goliath. That's all. It's going to be a tough one. It's okay. God, you will sustain me. Because why? Because my faith level says this. God, I can walk through any season. As long as you're in the boat with me, we can walk through this thing. I walk by faith and not by sight. Let's take it. I walk by faith and not by sight. Immature people walk by sight. But the mature Christian learns to walk by faith. Raising their faith level, walking through when they don't always see the answer. The last scripture I'm going to read to you here in Hebrews 6:19. It gives us this hope. It says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. What's it talking about? It's talking about the promises of God, the purposes of God for our life. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through curtains into what? God's inner sanctuary. He's talking about the presence of God, where God dwells, that we can be right there in God's presence. This is the hope we have, that he is not leaving us nor forsaking us. The hope that we have is that when we put our faith in him, he's not going to get out of the boat. He's going to stay in the boat with us. He's going to be with us. He's going to calm the storm. He's going to deal with me. He's going to deal with you. And he's going to calm the storms around us and help us sustain through any season of life if we'll just see his reality and walk in his reality. It's taking our skill set to a new level. It's anchoring it. I'm going to ask magicians to come this morning. So how do we respond today? That's the question. How do we respond? I think as we garner this information, as we begin to take on this wisdom and we grow, all right, God, you're helping me garner the skill set, the faith set, that I can begin to walk through whatever season you're asking me to walk through. God, I'm going to walk in your reality. And if my faith is there, take those keys that God's given you, begin to use them. God, I'm gonna walk like you're in control. I'm going to talk like you're in control. God, I'm going to act like you're in control. God, I'm going to put my trust in you, and I'm going to go through. I'm not going to allow worry to dominate my mind. I'm not going to allow fear to dominate my spirit. But I'm going to walk secure in you, knowing, God, you're going to work things out for the good. God, I'm going to put my trust in you, because I know that, God, that this boat may be shaking right now, but God, you're going to steady it, and you're going to put me on the right path where you want me to be. That's my trust in the Lord. That's your trust in the Lord. Today, how many people will say, Pastor, I'm ready for my faith to elevate to a new level. I want God to do that in my life. Anybody? Yeah, I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. It's just growing that faith level. garnering those skills that allows you to walk through any tough season with faith. We're going to close with this song today. If you say, Pastor, I want to step out of my faith level, I want to invite you to join us around the front today. Just step out and say, God, I want to worship you today. I want to step out and say, God, I want my faith level to go to a new level. As you're doing that today, we're going to close with this song. Let's sing it. Let's open up our hearts. Let's open up our mouths. Let's let it ring this morning as we declare it.
The mountain shake before you. The demons running free. At the mention of the name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am. The great
we lift our hands to him. Father, I thank you now. But I thank you, God, that you are elevating to us, God. But I pray that, Father, that we would let our hearts today say, God, you are able. God, you are able. That, God, we passed that test long before the answer comes that we want to see. Long before things happen the way we want to see. That, God, we can say, you are able. May that be the prayer of our heart. May that be the faith rising in our lives every day. That God, you are able no matter what. God, I pray that faith is rising in this room, in the heart of every believer. That God, you're elevating our faith to a new level. And God, I thank you for people that are hungry. God, to grow their faith to a new level. And God, I believe it's happening. And God, we're going to walk in that new level of faith. And we say together, amen. Come on, put your hands together if you agree with that today. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. You guys have a great rest of your afternoon. You guys have a great weekend. Thank you.